Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we do give thee thanks that thou hast guided us and has brought us back into this place of worship, into thy house, that we can open up thy precious word of life yet again in this afternoon hour. Lord, thou dost know each and every one of our hearts and the challenges and struggles that each and every one of us faces. Thou art well aware and art able to help. We turn to thee, and we look to thee for wisdom, for thy grace, and for thy truth to direct our path. Guide us and bless thy word, that thy word would be the health and the strength for our life. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. With the Lord's help, let us turn together and read from Revelation chapter 12.
Откровение Светого Ивана Богослова, 12 глава.
And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And as she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and a half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. May God bless. Just this morning, we were reminded of words of Apostle Paul that told the Thessalonians that there was no need that they would hear the signs and of the seasons of the coming of the Lord, for his day would come as a thief in the night. And it's not my intent to look at this passage of Scripture to discern or decide if anything, we can connect to our times as it relates to the fulfillment of all things and the prophecies, but to take what we can that is very clear from this passage of Scripture, especially what is spoken of in the methods of the devil and Satan, for the encouragement of our faith, because he uses the same ones today, and he has been. He is called a serpent in this chapter. He's called a dragon, and John sees a vision. And man has seen this before. He saw the serpent. Eve saw the serpent in the Garden of Eden, and he was a deceiver from the very beginning. There's so many parallels between what we know of Satan drawing the third part of the angels. Read in the first few verses of a child being born and the desire of the dragon to devour the child as soon as it was born. We remember the plots against Jesus Christ, even as a baby. We know of his ascension up to God and to his throne. And we see that there's a remnant of the seed of this woman. They are those that keep the commands of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So there's many things that we can look at in this passage and see connections with history that we know and even relate to our lives. In the middle of the chapter, speaks that the dragon is cast down into the earth and takes as his mission to persecute this woman which brought forth the man-child. That is what the devil does to every man and woman. He is looking to devour, to destroy, to persecute, to accuse. That is his mission. And one thing that really stands out in his attempts is verse 15. He says, "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood." There may be many people who could explain and understand and maybe bring parallels to what all of these symbols mean. But I think there's significance that this flood that comes from the serpent is coming from its mouth. There's another illustration that's given in the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ in his return when he comes on a white horse. And it is said that he has something coming out of his mouth and has a very sharp sword, that he should smite the nations and he should rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. That which comes out of the mouth, we know that this sword is the word of God. How about the things that come out of the mouth of the serpent? Are they not his words? And don't they behave like a flood? We all probably saw some footage of the hurricane that hit Louisiana and in some of the eastern states, how when the ocean comes in with the storm surge against those shoreline homes, it completely fills them. And anybody who's inside needs to escape if they can. It's a hopeless situation. Or those cars and buses that were stranded on the road, they can't move. It's as it's described here, that he might cause her to be carried away with the flood. There is a volume and there is a persuasive power in the words of our enemy. In Daniel, we read that there's going to be a time when people go to and fro and knowledge shall increase. And knowledge is increasing in our world. And the amount of reporting that's done about world events, about developments that are taking place in technology and all kinds of different topics, all the things that are being learned, we can't even wrap our minds around. It's immense. It's like this flood. And we do need to be careful about how much and what sort of things the words that we listen to. Because this is a tactic of Satan, to use that which comes out of his mouth to carry away, even those that keep the commandments of God. Can we be carried away by indulging too much, by spending too much time, by heeding the abundance of the information that's available? We can look at all kinds of information, can't we? Some can be very helpful. Some can give us knowledge and insight into very, very useful things in our lives, and even things that are good for taking care of other people. And then there are all the bad news, all of the skepticism, all of the finger pointing. There's no shortage of that. Isn't there a flood of that in this world? And we can add to our stress much more than we really need if we take time and just sit there and let ourselves soak it in. And of course, there's many sinful things that are displayed and promoted that we know we need to stay far away from, that can carry us away if we don't heed the warning. This is a tactic of our enemy. The serpent casting out of his mouth water as a flood after you and after me, for the express purpose that we might be carried away. And isn't that an interesting idea of being carried away? You know, you see some people that want to have some fun and a good time, and then it ends up hurting someone. They got carried away. It wasn't their intent, but it ended up happening. These are the tactics of our enemy. And in contrast, there's a word that comes from our Lord and Savior, the Word of God. And it's described like a sword. It's narrow. It's precise. It cuts. Word of God says that the Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning even the thoughts and intents of the heart. If we heed this word, it is for our good, because it divides good from evil. And that's good for us, so that we can be discerning, that we can be, even as we heard this morning, alert and awake and knowing what can I take in and what should I put aside. We need the word of God to be our guide, to be the standard by which we measure the words that we allow into our eyes, into our ears, into our minds, and how we process them. And the Word of God also speaks of the devil and his words, speaks of Jesus Christ and his words, and also has guidance and instruction for our own words. Jesus speaks and teaches us in Matthew chapter 5, basic principle of what should fill our speech and our words. And he tells us in Matthew chapter 5 that let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. That's very narrow, is it not? The truth. What is right or wrong? Everything outside of that comes from evil. That's very illustrative of the sword that pierces, very narrow, and the flood that there's lots of room for all kinds of ideas within the flood of information that is coming of evil. But our words are to be yea, yea, nay, nay. When it's yes, we mean yes. And when it's no, it means no. Just read today of a testimony of believers in Serbia that it seemed to be a very important thing in their culture that they would stand by their word. And when they said they would do something, they followed through. And it really got me thinking, because today there's so many lies and so much deceit that that's not necessarily in our culture something that's highly valued and that really motivates people. And so rather than saying, if I said I'm going to do something, I'll do it, I think that the culture that we're steeped in might tend to push us toward the idea of, well, what's another lie? What's another piece of deceit? There's so much, it doesn't matter all that much. But Jesus is calling us to lives of honesty, lives of truthfulness. And if something happens that we cannot fulfill, we should try to make it right. Because that does happen. So truthfulness is important. If you read through the book of Proverbs, you will scarcely find a chapter that does not have something to do with our speech. And one such chapter is Proverbs chapter 16. And it speaks of, starting with verse 23, some words to guide and to mold our concept of what our words should be like. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. We learned about that this morning, about words of edification, building one another up. It's our heart that will inform our mouth, that will display a testimony of our Lord. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. And so when we dwell on the refuse of this, what's popular in this world, animosity, fighting, bickering, competition, when we dwell on that, it can affect our heart. It affects our words. It affects our ability to be patient. But the pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. How many times have you heard of the triggers for heart problems? Yeah, there's eating, what's important, but how much does the stress of worry and anxiety, of the overload, of busyness, or just taking on more than we really need? Let's take on the Word of God to be health to our bones, sweetness to our soul, pleasant words of God's faithfulness, of his truth, of his reliability. Let's remember those stories from the Old Testament that speak of God's testimonies, how he helped his children when they could not help themselves, when they could not rely upon this world, its riches, or its kings. Because we may find that we are in the same boat soon. Or we may realize that we've been in that boat and we just didn't see it. But one thing doesn't change: God's faithfulness. And it is so encouraging to hear the testimonies of older brothers and sisters that can testify and speak of God's faithfulness and encourage generation after generation. We listen. We're listening for good testimonies, for simple, heartfelt trust in the Lord, because it helps us. It helps us carry on. It gives us strength. It's the things that, even as we heard this morning, comfort and edify the body of Christ. A final reference in relation to our words and how we speak is found in Colossians chapter 4. Where Apostle Paul, I'll read a few verses ahead. Beginning with verse 2, he says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." There's a way that we ought to speak, isn't there? And Apostle Paul knew that there was a way that he ought to speak. One that would minister grace to the hearers. One that would be a testimony of Jesus Christ. One that would do that in the face of opposition. And he knew that that's how he ought to. And he needed the prayers of those who loved the Lord to, in his support, that he might carry that out. Then he encourages them, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." I know we all can see that there's an importance in how we conduct ourselves and demonstrate the salvation and forgiveness and freedom that we have found in Jesus Christ to those that are without, that they too might seek and desire their soul salvation. And to that end, he says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." It's so interesting how the Bible speaks of words and our tongue and compares it to foods. Even in Proverbs, it says that a man will be satisfied with the fruit of his lips. You ever think about that? The things that come out of our mouth will be what we eat and will satisfy us. So may they be pleasant words, sweetness, truth, seasoned with salt, always with grace, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. For that wisdom, we truly need to rely upon the Lord. He is the one upon whom we depend for those words that we speak and the answer that we need to give for the hope that lies within us. And that's true also in this account that we read in Revelation. You know, this woman that's described, she must represent some group of people, I imagine. But she's under attack. She's being persecuted. But she's given a place of refuge. It's prepared for her. Do you ever think of what your place of refuge is that's prepared for you? First thing that comes to my mind is As Jesus said, when you go into your home and you go in your closet and you pray and your Father sees you, that's a place of refuge. That's a place of quietness that we can take part in. The other things are quite amazing, sounds supernatural. The woman is given wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. Later on, the earth helps the woman and opens its mouth and swallows up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. I'm not going to begin to try to explain what this might mean. However, we can clearly see that the Lord marvelously helps her. In a supernatural way. And we are in need of marvelous help, supernatural help, spiritual help for the spiritual battle that we face. We are, as a family, reading through the book of Joshua. We all remember the Sunday school stories. We remember Jericho battle really well. They were asked to walk around the city many times, and they patiently and obediently did it. And God came through and supernaturally helped. He destroyed those walls, and they conquered the city. Then comes the battle of Ai, where the sin was discovered, and they faltered. And then God told them, put it away, cleanse yourself. They did, and God helped them. They prepared themselves for further conquest by reading from the law, and each and every one of the congregation saying amen and amen to the blessings and the cursings of the law at Mount Ebal and Gerizim. And then the kings of the south banded together. And through these experiences, Joshua and the people learned that God would help them as they obeyed him. In simple obedience, they did those things that seemed so small. And God helped them, even using the earth by and the stars and the sun, by holding the sun in place as they fought one army, and bringing down hail against another, so that more people were taken by the hail than what Joshua's soldiers could do. For each and every one of us, the mighty hand of God is able to help. He asks us to be obedient. He asks us to do the things that we know. And especially for my friends outside of Christ, you see your struggle against sin and Satan, and you find yourself perhaps helpless to overcome. The Lord asks a simple obedience of you as well. Repent of your sins. Believe in the Lord. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He will make you his own. Can there be any greater blessing? And he will give you and help each of us to overcome the challenge that we face, the flood that seeks to destroy us. And further testimony of that in conclusion, just want to read one verse from the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus tells each and every one who would hear his words. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. There are many opinions of men that are going around in this world. But the one that matters the most, the opinion that matters the most is that of the Lord. How does he liken me? To a wise man that builds upon a rock? He says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, that is who I'll liken him to. And to know that the Lord looks down, pleased, that Jesus Christ is alive within us is a great and wonderful blessing. It's my hope and prayer that each and every one of us would find the great amount of purpose and content in that special relationship with our Lord. Amen.